Welcome to this week's podcast from Free Chapel in Orange County. We hope that you enjoy this encouraging message. For more information on our church family, visit freechapel.org/OC.
Awesome. Well, turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to look as we begin this little mini-series on eternity. We're going to look first at Ephesians chapter 4. I'm not going to preach for long today. We're also going to finish service today with communion. We didn't do it last week, because we had graduation last week. But we're going to finish with communion today. But I want to read Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. And we'll read from verse 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together. And he made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This morning, what I want to share with you is a small piece of this little series that we're looking at in eternity. And it's simply a piece that surrounds the place that you are positioned in Christ Jesus. It's a phrase that we often will say in church, but I think we often repeat it. We're so used to saying certain things that I think we underestimate how powerful it is when we understand and we get what we call in church a revelation, or it is revealed to us on a spirit level. That's what it means to have a revelation. It is when something is revealed on a spirit level. And when revelation is so powerful simply because it is something that happens on a level that the enemy cannot touch. That's why it's so important that you are continually having revelations within the kingdom of God. Not just things that you hear, not just things that are in your head. I know many Christians, and I've done it at times myself, where I've had things for years in my head that I thought I had a revelation of, but I didn't have a revelation of. I just had a level of understanding of. And I know that I just had a level of understanding of certain things, because when days would go bad, the enemy would take that real quickly, and all of a sudden I would feel the anxiety or feel the fear or feel the insecurity. And that showed me, Ben, there's a deeper level of revelation that you need to go to, where what is in your head gets now deposited within your spirit. Because once it's in my spirit, the enemy cannot touch it. And he can give me bad day after bad day and tough time after tough time, but there will be something in my spirit that will keep me standing because I got a revelation. This is what I want us to walk away with in this little series, is a revelation that I am here on this earth, but I'm just visiting. I'm just visiting. I remember when I had a buddy back in the day, long, long, long time ago. We like to call it like BC. You know when someone's going to tell you a good story, when they preface it with, this was before I was saved. You ever have a friend say that to you? It's the little disclaimer. But before I knew Jesus, yesterday, years and years ago, I remember I had a buddy that I used to hang with. I remember he got into trouble, pretty serious trouble, and spent some time in prison. I remember going to visit him in prison. I'd go and visit him every Sunday. I'd go visit him in prison. when I would go in, I would you know, you would check in and you'd have to put all your different particulars and then they'll give you a name tag. It was a very important name tag. Very important name tag. Not because it had my name on it, but because it had these few words that I wanted every single guard in that place to see. And it was the very simple but incredibly powerful words, just visiting. Just visiting. Hey. I know I'm here amongst all of these cats that I'm petrified of. It's a maximum security prison. Listen, I never walked into a visiting room so quietly and calmly, showing each one of those guards around me, hey, don't take me back in there with these jokers because I'm just visiting. I want to just go back to my house and back to my car. But there's this little thought that we need to be reminded of as we're walking around, so consumed with things that are around us and opinions of people and things that we can buy and things that we're striving after and things that seem to matter to us. We need to remind ourselves that when we get saved, there's a little name tag on our hearts that we need to read sometimes and remind myself, I'm just visiting. The things that I'm putting value in, more often than not, they're not going to mean a single thing in heaven. And the things that I'm not putting as much value in, that's the stuff that's going to mean so much to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The stuff that people don't see, and the sacrifices that you make, and the kindness to people that doesn't get shown to all of the others, and the decisions that you make in the dark that no one celebrates you for. It's those things that God looks at. And I have to remind myself, because we are so good at showing everybody what we're doing that has value here on the earth. And we have convinced ourselves that this stuff matters to God. And I think God, in His mercy and in His grace, He's saying to us, come on, guys, come up to a higher level and recognize where you are positioned. The thought that I want to give you today off this one verse, in verse 6, Ephesians 2 and verse 6, and he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Do you know where your spirit is seated right now? You might think, oh, Ben, I mean, you know, I haven't even been saved that long. You may think, Ben, I'm just a businessman. I'm not like a preacher. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Ben, I'm not even a small group leader in the church. I just come here on a Sunday. No. You are underestimating who you are in the spirit, because Scripture says that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. This is where your spirit resides. This is your position in Christ Jesus. And it's so, the reason why we don't have a revelation of it is it sounds almost somewhat mystical, doesn't it? Whenever we say in spiritually and in heavenly place, it sounds also sort of mystical. And I actually believe that's a subtle scheme of the enemy to cause a disconnect between who we are called to be in the spirit and the way we live here on earth. And we think about it in this mystical way, but what I want you to walk away with today is an understanding of what it really is to be seated with Him in heavenly places. The first thing that I want you to see is the position of being seated is a position that represents a level of peace and not turmoil. To be seated is not striving, is it? I remember when I used to work in construction, if the boss came or drove past the work site and you were sitting down on the job, that was a problem. Because sitting down is the opposite to work, isn't it? How often do we not operate in and live in the finished work of Jesus Christ? Because we're so busy trying to earn it in ourselves when we need to be reminded that He's told me that I'm seated. When I'm seated, it means that there is a peace in knowing that God is guiding and ordering my life. That I don't need to strive, that I don't need to wrestle, that I need to sit in the finished work of Jesus. More often than not, the battles that we are fighting with the enemy, we are fighting because we have changed our position in Christ. We got off the seat. And we've come down trying to strive and orchestrate and organize things and work things out. And even, listen, this will sound bad to say, and even pray about things. Do you know that you can pray very fervently and very fearfully? That sometimes the greatest act of spiritual warfare is knowing what it is to just simply take a seat and know that God has done it. And the enemy will come and every religious spirit will come and try and get you stirred up to feel like you have to do something, when sometimes the most faith-filled thing you can do is just sit down and let God take care of it. I know we say faith without works is dead. Sometimes the works that activate the work of God is just sitting down and trusting that God has done it. The best thing that you can walk around telling yourself perhaps this week is just simply this: stay seated. Stay seated. That'll keep your anxiety at bay if you remind yourself to just stay seated. There is a peace, there is a rest, there is an ease for your spirit when you know what it is to stay seated. Matthew 11 and 28, we know it. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the place of rest is when we are seated. Recognize that we are seated in heavenly places. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And 6, we know these verses so well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, your own wisdom. I lean on my own wisdom so much. I find myself trying to work things out. Do you ever find yourself trying to give God help that He doesn't need? Listen, I was embarrassed when I read that. Oh, do you know how many times I've read this verse? I bet you've read it a lot too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. But then as I read it again, I was so embarrassed, and I realized, my gosh, I lean on my own understanding. And I got even more embarrassed about that when I had the picture in my mind of me being seated in heavenly places with Him. So I want you to consider this. Your position in Christ is you sitting like this with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. Okay, He's sitting beside you. Leaning on your own understanding would look like this. Hey God, listen. I just came up with a really good idea. I've been sitting on it and I think I've got something that might help you. Who do we think we are? I want to look at that Ben and say, Ben, my God, shut your mouth. Do you ever get in the presence of somebody that you look up to? You ever had that opportunity to sit with someone you look up to and you get nervous and you just start talking. You're like, shut up. Like, what am I doing? What? This is the picture of what we look like when we're leaning on our own understanding. Do you not know who you are seated next to? Do you not know that He has all of the answers? Do you not know that He doesn't need your help? He needs your submission. He needs your surrender. And He needs your faith to just stay seated. Stay seated. Being seated is not being lazy. It's being seated, recognizing who you are as a son and as a daughter. Colossians 3 and 15, it says that when we do this, we will, listen to the wording, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. A seated person can maintain peace in your heart while there may be turmoil in your life. You overcome the turmoil in your life by holding to the peace of God that's ruling in your heart. This is how we walk in victory. Because if we focus our lives here on this earth just trying to overcome every single challenge that a fallen world throws at us, you will live a very up and down, dare I say it, schizophrenic spiritual life. And you will not grow in the things of God because your faith will always be dependent on what's going on around you. And I don't know about you, but I know for me, I could be facing one battle one day and wake up and then be facing a brand new battle the next day. But when I allow the peace of God to rule in my heart, it doesn't matter what the enemy tries to do in my life. Because remember, I'm just visiting. Don't lock me down to this cell, bro. I'm rolling out of here real quick. These jokers are staying, but this is just visiting. Seated. We have to stay seated. It speaks not just of peace, but it speaks, and I mentioned it before, and I'll go through the next two real quickly, but it speaks of a victory. It speaks of victory. It isn't the enemy's attack that's defeating you. It's the change in your position that you make trying to defeat him in your own strength. That's where he gets you. That's why we need to stay. That's why we need to stay seated in the victory. Because when you sit in that seat that is in heavenly places, that seat was bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. The devil hates you in that seat because it reminds him of his greatest defeat. When we understand what it is to sit in that seat, this is what it means to live a spirit led life. Because what we must understand is when our spirit, if we're seated in heavenly places, we are seated with Him. The battle of our Christian walk is to always to elevate my mind, my will, and my emotions so that they align in that seated place where my spirit is. But I don't know about you, my spirit's in the seat, but my mind, will, my emotions, those jokers, I mean, they're sitting somewhere else. And this is what we have to do is when I'm living spirit-led, I don't allow my mind and my will and my emotions to dictate where I'm going to sit. I continually, what I'm doing is I'm sitting in a place that is spirit-led, that says, this is who I am in Christ Jesus. But guess what? I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. And some days I wake up and I feel defeated. But in those moments, I have to maintain my position spiritually, and I have to, by the power of God's word and a healthy prayer life and consistent praise, I reach down to that decrepit place where my emotions live and my mind wanders, and I pull it up. And I remind myself, Ben, you cannot think like that. You got to think like this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That He is guiding my steps. He is ordering me. He is covering me. His blood does surround me. See, now my emotions and my thinking now change. Why? Because they're being brought up to the position of what it is to be seated. Then what happens is my actions then change too. It's really hard trying to live like a Christian, isn't it? It's tough. And I think the reason why we find it so hard is because we focus so much on the actions. But if I allow my focus to be growing my spirit, then my spirit, when my spirit, living spirit led, this is what it looks like, my spirit grows, my flesh has less influence in my life. Because whatever's bigger is going to lead the race. And what we do is we starve our spirits and we give our spirit a couple of crumbs on a Sunday morning. And my flesh, the second I turn on the news, my flesh starts getting fed. Now, I'm not saying don't watch the news. You're all watching the news you want to. But you better be mindful. The Bible says, don't be ignorant to the schemes of the enemy. And if you think that the enemy is not working through media, you have got your head in the sand. If you think that there is not a powerful agenda, if you think you think that you can just open your phone and you think you're just scrolling through your social media, you think that the enemy has not got an agenda, even the way they structure algorithms in your social media. You thought you just were just looking at that little pic, and then bang, bang, and this pic, and this pic. I'll follow different little, fitness things on social media. And then you start flicking, and then I start flicking through there, and there's all these skanky half-dressed chicks on my social media. I'm like, what in the heck is this? DG, where is this crap coming from? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. And so then I went back to all the things that I follow, and it's like different fitness apps. I thought, click, unfollow, click, unfollow, click, unfollow. Not because fitness is bad. I just don't need it. And different things in your life, and you're watching the news, and you're allowing the fear and the anxiety to come into your heart, and you wonder why your flesh is leading and your spirit is getting starved. We got to make a conscious decision to say, I'm not going to allow my flesh to lead me anymore, because it lets me down every single time. I'm going to grow my spirit. I'm going to grow my spirit. I'm not going to let what's going on around me dictate my actions, my emotions. Remember Daniel, the story of Daniel? They sent out this decree. Daniel got set up. They sent out this decree. They said, if you pray, we're going to kill you. So what did Daniel do? Dude went and prayed. It's got to be the dumbest decision. I mean, according to your own understanding, that would be a dumb decision, wouldn't it? But what is not what struck me, obviously I'm messing when I say it was a dumb decision. I'm saying it's a dumb decision in the natural. But if he was not living a spirit-led life, he would never have gone and put himself in a place of prayer, because those actions don't make sense to the setting. But this is what struck me, is it's not the fact that he prayed, but it's actually what he prayed. Because it says here in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that this was written and signed, he went home, and in his upper room," look at this, upper room, elevated place, "upper room, and in his windows open to Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God." You mean he didn't pray for a breakthrough? I would be fasting and praying against lines. I would be praying that God would drop cheeseburgers from heaven into the lion's den to fill lions' stomachs. Something. No, no, no. Daniel, what does Daniel do? Daniel gives God thanks. Gives God praise. And just worships. This is what it is to live this spirit-led life, where he's not allowing the brokenness of the world around him, the temptation of the world around him, the fear of the world around him, the anxiety surrounding him. He says, I know who I am in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to pray according to that position. I'm not going to pray, we say it in church often and it's powerful. I'm not going to pray for victory. I'm going to pray from victory. This is what Daniel was doing. Daniel standing there in the most difficult, challenging season of his life, where the enemy's coming down around him, and he stands there in the middle of it and says, "God, I thank you so much. You're so good to me." That's what it is to pray from a place that is seated. Saying, I'm not praying trying to earn some victory. Why would I pray to win a fight that's already been won? I'm going to stay seated and I'm going to pray and give God thanks for the victory that's already mine through Christ Jesus. This week, I want you to tell yourself this week, every day, Ben, stay seated. When you want to get up and allow anxiety to guide and direct you, stay seated. When you want to give in to the temptations of this world around you, stay seated. When you're struggling with unforgiveness and struggling with bitterness and struggling with insecurity in your life, stay seated. Because Jesus Christ paid a price for this seat. Jesus paid the highest price for this seat.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. To watch our latest message, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram and Facebook @FreeChapelOC.